Okay, the title of the talk is Soil Moisture Rainfall Intensity Threshold on Runoff Generation in Southwest Wisconsin and Agricultural Basin. And let me give you a disclaimer prior to my giving you any of the talk, because Fred Madison was going to give this, and this is a student that worked with Fred and Anita Thompson, Tim Raddis, and Tim couldn't come. My only connection is I was on the student's thesis, and I loaned him my time domain reflectometry. So that's my disclaimer. The reason they were doing this work was because in Wisconsin, as you know, we have a lot of dairy industry and dairy farms. And one of the things we want to know is what happens when you start spreading manure with respect to runoff. And we can't spread in the winter, so most of the spreading has to take place in the spring, in the fall prior to that, and in summer. And so what we want to know is what risk do we have when you start applying this manure to land and the problems associated. We know that we have a lot of runoff, and the risk associated with that is environmental, and we've had fish kills depending on when the manure got applied in a lot of some of our very prestigious trout streams. And so we want to know, basically, if we can look at soil parameters and determine if we can predict or determine what might take place with respect to runoff. So the objective of this study was basically to get a better understanding of the factors affecting runoff from agricultural watersheds. And the site is located in southwest Wisconsin, as you see on the map there, and we want to evaluate the influence of storm and landscape characteristics on surface-generated runoff and determine the threshold for these based on soil moisture, basically the antecedent soil moisture content and rainfall intensity. And these were from watersheds, and we had runoff flumes. And basically, there are two different locations, and we're comparing these. And the first one is a discovery farm. And basically, when we say discovery farm, this is based on some farms that were put together in the Netherlands, and we started this in the early 90s, working with farmers and looking at different practices and basically trying to assess the situation. And in this particular case, we were able to go in and monitor these systems to see what's going on with runoff. And so what you see is that we have a flume, and there are three different watersheds here, and this again is in the farmer's field. This is the discovery farm, and this particular farmer has a crop rotation 3 year of corn for grain, then silage, and then soybean. The farmer basically is no-till and has been in no-till for a considerable period of time. There are grass waterways, as you can see, that are laid out here, excuse me, that are in this field. And so as a result of the no-tillage system that he's doing, you end up with residue of about 50 to 65%. So quite a bit of residue left on the surface of this field. It has good practices, as I said, with grass waterway. It has some terraces around in the field that are shown out here. And the soil series is a tamer, which is a very deep soil. And it's a silt. It's some of the best soil we have in Wisconsin. Slopes of 5%, as you can see here. And that will be compared then to the Pioneer Farm, which is at the University of Wisconsin in Platteville. And they work as part of this discovery farm because they have some large watersheds that we can instrument and take a look at. So the Pioneer Farm uses conventional tillage, fall chisel, and then in the spring they come back with a soil finisher. So basically they are doing quite a bit of work on that soil. And the residue as a result of that amount of tillage is between 15 and 30%, so about half the residue that we have in the discovery farm system. They have seven rotations here with corn, oats, and alfalfa, so you actually do have a good cover when we've got the alfalfa there. They have grass waterways and also terraces like the other farm, and the same soil, but there's a bit of Ashdale series as well in this one. Same slope, but a little bit steeper here of up to 7%. And this is the setup. This is put together by USGS, and they do all of the monitoring. They have a full-scale weather station, as you see off to the right here. So this is a weather station, and the runoff is collected here. Sediment is collected and refrigerated, taken back for a considerable amount of analysis in the laboratory. And I'm just going to focus on the unfrozen period of the study, and the study was conducted from 2004 to 2007, and actually still going on, still being monitored at both places. And we're going to look at storm events that are greater than 2 millimeters. And we're going to focus on the antecedent soil moisture content, the cover, and rainfall intensity as we look at the runoff. So here are some storm characteristics that Tim looked at. The study runoff, we looked at the number of runoff events and the runoff depth, both at the Discovery Farm, which is the DFP, and then we looked at similar precipitation and landscape characteristics. Obviously, the tillage is different. We talked about that, and the crop rotation is different for the Pioneer Farm. And you can see some of the data here with the Pioneer Farm having more runoff events, if you look at the percent of runoff events here, and the depth of runoff was greater from the Pioneer Farm than from the Discovery Farm. But remember, there's a little bit of difference in slope, but the main difference is the tillage practices between the two places. And we'll further look at the runoff characteristics by looking at the precipitation and landscape. So surface runoff with the precipitation leaving, the amount of precip that comes in is 9%. In the Discovery Farm. So remember, we got a different cover there. We got no tillage for an extremely long time. And I don't remember exactly how long, but this farmer has been doing no tillage for a long time. And he also put back quite a bit of manure on the land as well. So it's a fairly good system. And the Pioneer, 2%. So there's a doubling of the runoff there from comparing those two. And if you look at So that's looking at a whole, but if you look at these two watersheds, because remember there were three watersheds we were looking at, there's about 1.8 when you compare those two. So again, the difference between the two, the residue cover is greater here. We have less residue cover here. Soil properties, they're pretty close to the same with the infiltration and all of those, but we would expect more infiltration from the Discovery Farm than from the area that's being tilled more. Hydraulic conductivity and those parameters are very similar, so we have a similar soil type. So now let's focus on the soil moisture. And what Tim has done is basically look at a break point to look at when we start to receive the runoff. And what he's doing is looking at runoff versus precipitation and the antecedent soil moisture content. And he would make a measurement of the water content from 0 to 30 centimeters of the soil over time, and then make this comparison. So what he's found is that if you look at this, there's a break point at a low level here of less than 35% antecedent soil moisture content is one of the break points that he's been able to see when he started comparing. The upper break point then is at about 39, about 40% antecedent moisture content when you start seeing runoff. So we're going to now look at this for the two different systems. And remember, the upper level that he found was at 39% water content. And when we start looking at this 39 antecedent moisture, you see that, again, the Discovery Farm, there were fewer storms, and you can see more storms over here in the Pioneer Farm and more runoff. So the above that, this threshold, 16% of the precipitation, we found the runoff, and then 78% runoff depth with that. And below that threshold, there were less intense storms and events. And so now let's look at, because remember, we want to find out how this relates to when you apply manure on the land. So let's look at some of the storms. And what you'll see here is the solid line is the Pioneer Farm. And so we had a little bit more precipitation there. And we want to look at the time of the year, because remember, we can't apply this in the winter. We're going to have to apply it in the spring, summer, and fall. And so what we have is that 39% water content, about 40% water content as a break point where we see more of the runoff occurring. And so if you then take a look at the time of year, you'll see that about the time when you can spray it is when you're going to get most of your runoff. Because now looking at that break point, we've got here in the spring, we've got more storms occurring above that, and over in the fall, we've got more storms occurring above that breakpoint line. So if we look at then the maximum 30-minute rainfall intensity and compare this for the Discovery Farm, and we average these together now to take a look at it. And so we can take a look at this soil water content that we talked about, and we can have a range here of less than 35, between 35 and 40, and then above 35. And we take a look at this, and so we'd look at this and group them by the cover crop, the amount of cover that's on the ground, because you would anticipate that if we had a lot of cover, we would reduce the amount of runoff that we would receive. And so if we look at then where the cover is greater than 50% and then that below 50%, and you can see that now when we've got this comparison here for two different storms, when we're looking at greater than that 40% water content, you can see that we've got quite a bit of runoff here, even when we look at our maximum 30-minute rainfall intensity. Now, taking these same cover with a lot, remember we've got a lot of cover here now, but we look at between that 35 and 40% water content, we've got fewer runoff taking place from these. And then when you drop down to less than that 35% antecedent soil moisture content, there's even less of the runoff that we're seeing taking place from this. So to conclude from what Tim has found, the ability to identify high risk period is really important. We really need to know this because we need to know when you're spreading this manure, what's the opportunity or potential to get a runoff. And we think soil water content would be a really good indicator. And the threshold that we found is about 39% water content, about 40% water content, that above that threshold, we're going to have more runoff potential, and below that, we're going to have less. And so we think that this maximum 30-minute intensity is certainly strongly influenced by the antecedent soil moisture content, and we would certainly suggest that our farmers purchase some device to go out and look at the water content prior to spreading manure. They would have less potential to cause runoff and fish kills that we've seen throughout the state, and the big fines that go along with that. So with this, on behalf of Tim, Anita, and Fred, and as I said, since I was a minor participant, they would like to thank the Pioneer Farm for their participation in this, Discovery Farm, and USGS for their monitoring abilities, and the people at USGS there, but also the farmers, Mark, Jan, and Joe Rickers, for their use of the land. So with that, if I can't answer any questions, I'll be happy to try.
Any questions? We have time for one or two. Okay.
I'm just curious about the method that the manure is spread. Is it usually a dry material or is it a slurry?
I believe that this farmer uses a dry material, but we have some of everything being spread. We have actually liquid being spread out. It would be better if the liquid were injected, but there are times you cannot inject, and so we have a range of anything above. Yes?
I was wondering about that too, because I was wondering if perhaps having manure on or in the soil would have an effect on that threshold water content.
I think most of these are, like I said, a surface apply, but if you were to have it in the soil, at that 40% water content, hopefully they wouldn't even be out there because I doubt if they'll be able to get across it. And even if they had the wide tires with the flotation, they would produce a considerable amount of compaction. But they could drive across and actually spread dry material. But I don't think that they would be able to inject.
Any other questions? No questions? Thank you, Beryl.
Thank you.